The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Hey, Truth Seekers, this is David. Glad to be with you today. I want to just remind you that Jesus is alive. I hope you're living, understanding, and knowing that. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you if you're a child of God, and above all things, God is still on His throne. He is still in control. Welcome to Truth Infusion. This is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries, and we are excited to be here with you today. And I say we because seated to my direct right is my best good friend, Jason Edge, is back with us. Say hello to the folkses.
Hello to the folkses.
And we are here. You know, this guy is in high demand, this Jason Edge, because I've been trying to get him back into the studio with me for, about 6 weeks to tackle some of these hard questions. And finally, he was able to break away. And I'm just picking on him a little bit, but I'm glad that you're back.
Well, life in a little league basketball is pretty tough.
Ain't that the
truth?
It's
demanding.
He's got two girls that play. I've got a boy and a girl that play, and we're still going. They're finished now, so he's getting some relief in his house. But I've still got basketball practice and games on Saturday.
Well, David, for you, the good thing about basketball practice and season being over, you got baseball practice and season to start.
We'll see. I haven't mentioned baseball yet, and I don't know. I hate to hold back on that if he wants to play, but man, it's overwhelming sometimes,
yes.
But I'm glad you're here today.
I'm glad to be here.
We're going to tackle some questions from you, the listeners. That's what we do with these Q&A shows, and we've got a couple of good ones that we're going to look at. We may not get to both parts of this question today, but it's one that we hear in one way or another quite often in the church and in the world.
Absolutely.
We hear phrases and comments and references to the idea of judging. And we want to cover this in a couple different ways. We'll have Jason give you the actual question here in a second, but we're going to cover this from a couple different aspects, and we may not get both of them in on this show, and if not, then I'll have to get you to sit in with me again so we can finish this one up. But judging others, God judging us, there's quite a bit of teaching that can go.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that people don't understand and misuse or don't do it at all.
Yeah, and a lot of times within the church, we're so for overall scripturally illiterate that we have a general idea that it's in there, but we don't really know what the Bible says, and so we use it wrongly. And in the world, you can't expect anything but the Word of God to be used wrongly. That's
right.
Just, that's the way that goes. So that's what we're going to do today. But let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this first question from Tiffany. Would you pray for us when we get going?
Yes. Father God, I do ask that you bring the truth. Father, let this important message touch people's hearts so they can understand, because this question has been asked to me more than I can count, and there's a desire to know the truth behind this question. So, Father, reveal that to us and just keep on doing what you do and blessing us and give us the strength to make it in this tough world. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, well then, let's have the actual question, and then we'll try to get into this a little bit.
All right. The question from Tiffany from Texarkana is, as a Christian, do I have the right to judge other people?
All right. So, Jason has actually... because at a time he was kind of inundated with this, he actually did some studying and some digging on this, getting see what the Word says about it,
right?
So he could share that with some groups, and so I'm going to turn this over a lot to him, and we'll just kind of have a good conversation about do we have the right to judge others?
Right. Well, when I was first saved, I was set on fire. I went and tried to save the world, and I did it.
Yeah.
As most Christians do in the beginning, before they learn the Word, is they burn bridges just as much as they're trying to burn the world with Jesus. And, I was condemning. I'd go to people and saying, you're sinning, you're going to hell if you don't change your ways.
Yeah.
Just because I was on fire for God and I wanted people to experience what I had, I just didn't have the ability or the knowledge to do that as a Christian should. Granted, I was a Christian, but I was totally off and out of line, and I burn a lot of bridges.
Your intentions were great. Your heart was in the right place, just didn't have the knowledge and the spiritual experience.
Absolutely. So, you know, God put it on my heart and to learn when to judge, when not to judge as Christians.
And how.
And how, absolutely. And so, you know, first of all, judgment, the Bible says judgment starts in the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, as Christians, we got to hold other Christians accountable, not to us, but to God's word and the promise they made when they were baptized. You know, baptism is very important. It doesn't make you saved by being baptized. What it tells the world is I'm a child of God. I want you to hold me to that standard of being a Christian. Help me grow. And as Christians, as most churches, we fall short on teaching new Christians how to live a life as a victorious Christian. And this is one of the greatest tools, because the world's going to bombard you with questions, and people that don't know are going to say, oh, you can't judge me. Well, absolutely. The Bible says we're supposed to judge, or supposed to.
We don't say post, because this is being heard in the North too, Jason. We can't.
Well, this is South.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So, as we're going to talk about, you know, as Christians, let's talk about when we're not supposed to judge.
Okay.
You know, let's, you know, we don't do personal convictions or preferences, non-moral issues. We don't judge that outside of what the Bible says. The Bible lays out morally what's right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We have a morals, the Ten Commandments. That's how we basically were born, with that moral law. I think C.S. Lewis writes mm-hmm. a good book about that.
Definitely.
And that's embedded in our DNA. We're born with this moral law.
Understanding naturally that this is good, this is evil, this is the way a person should treat me, this is the way I should treat you.
Mm-hmm.
We naturally know what that's like even from birth.
Right. So we don't judge on non-moral issues. You know, if it's not that big a deal and the Bible really doesn't talk about it, then as Christians, we really don't have what's right or wrong to say, because the Bible doesn't say. So there can be a million different situations that we just step back and, you know, well, I don't know, the Bible don't talk about. Granted, the Bible covers most things.
But on a moral basis, it does. But on, you're personally saying, oh, that upsets me, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Right, right.
That's something we need to stay away from, especially if we're going to do it from the vantage point of I'm a Christian and let me tell you how you're supposed to live. If we can't say this is what God says in those circumstances, we're just opening up a can of worms.
That's right.
I was preaching just last week, and one of the points that God gave me to bring out was this, and I think this goes right with what you're saying. The point was, there are, in any circumstance or situation in your life, there are two sides you can stand on: God's side or the wrong side.
Yeah.
And if we're not able to say, this is the word of God, this is what God says, when we're in the framework of judging someone's actions, if we can't say this is what God said, then the truth is we as the Christian are probably standing on the wrong side of that argument.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's just one. I think I got four points here on what not to judge.
So the first thing is, we don't judge unless we are standing completely from the point of view of the scripture.
That's right. And then another spot that we don't judge other people on is their outward appearance. You know, and that's a big one today. You got women out there that think they got to be this certain size, you know, look a certain way, or, you know, dress a certain way. And it's even overflowing to most men now. I mean, it's basically society in itself has an image that the world tells you that you have to live by.
Mm-hmm.
And, they want to live that, but as Christians, we don't have a judgment on someone's outward appearance. The world does it enough. As Christians, we just say, hey, B, look how you want to look. You know,
Modest. That's really the only word in the Bible that you can hang a judgment on is as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's it's someone in the world,
right, we can't judge.
Don't expect them to live like a Christian. I mean, let's get real. Even up to our elected leaders in the State House and the White House, don't expect them to live like a Christian if they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. But as a Christian, looking at another Christian, the only thing we can really judge on appearance-wise is, are you living modestly? Are you appearing modestly?
Right. Not what they wear, not the size they are, or whatever, you know. Yeah. And that, like David said, we cannot judge the world. A lost person that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know God, the Bible says it's foolishness to those who don't believe. So whatever we say biblically to them, they're automatically, the flesh is going to want to rebel. Mm-hmm. God's the one that puts it in their heart for the desire to change. Yeah. And then that's when our words start influencing that person.
Yeah.
But until that, you know, I'm not saying don't waste your breath, but don't get down when the words just reflect off that lost person, because that's just what happens until they want to change.
Yeah. There was a story about judging appearances in the church. I want to relate this and then go on to our next point, unless you have something else you want to say. There's a pastor, Sunday morning service is getting started. There, people are gathering, in other words, and the pastor looks kind of to the back where the people are coming in, and this little boy walks in. He's wearing the dirtiest holes in his shorts, you know, tank top. Looked like he'd been in the sandbox for 2 days, and he walks into church, big old smile on his face, and the pastor goes back there, and he pulls him to the side, and he says, "Young man, do you think that's the right thing for you to wear in the house of God?" And the boy didn't know nothing about church, and he just kind of said, "Well, I don't know." And he said, "I want to take the pastor said, I'll tell you something. This is what I want you to do. When you leave here today, I want you to go to prayer, and I want you to start asking the Lord what you should wear in his house. You understand that?" The little boy said, "Yes, sir." 7 days later, pastor looks, doors open up, boy walks in wearing the exact same clothes, and they hadn't been washed yet, you know. He was as happy as he could be. Pastor goes back there, a little upset this time. He pulls him aside, and he said, "Young man, did I talk to you last week about what you wear in the house of God?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Didn't I tell you to go home and pray and ask the Lord what you should wear?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Did you do that?" "Yes, sir." "What did God tell you?" "God told me he'd never been in this church, and he didn't know what y'all wore."
That's true.
Hey, so the heart of a Christian that's judging others can be completely apart from God himself if we're not doing it the right way.
That's right.
Give me another one.
Another one. This is a good one, too. Upon another Christian's service. Man, I've been in churches, and, you know, I could hear sister or brother so-and-so talk about, "Well, I just didn't like what brother so-and-so was teaching, or what he had. I didn't feel the Spirit."
Yeah.
You know, and as Christians, we're not supposed to judge what God has put on another person's heart to get up there and teach or preach. Now, this is in the second half, when we are supposed to judge what's being taught. We'll talk about that in the second half.
Yeah. But you're not talking about their content. You're talking about, "I don't like the way he talks."
Right. Well, not the way they present it.
I like the way so-and-so teaches better. I'd rather listen to him.
Absolutely.
That type of thing.
You
sure.
Know, we don't judge that. And we're wrong if we do. Because if God's put it on a person's heart, and that may be their first time ever getting in front of a group of people and you know, telling them what God has put on their heart. And say, from my standpoint, when I first started doing it, I wasn't great. I'm still not that great at it, but I get up there and do it.
But nobody has a unbelievable delivery and polished, you know.
Yeah, it's a tool you got to work
definitely.
On. Definitely. It's definitely something that gets better and better and better over time. So we don't judge other Christians when they're up there preaching or teaching.
Trying to serve the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because you're right. If God's put a word on their heart and you don't receive that word, that's your fault. Because God gave them the messenger, the message, and they can't get, you know, went forward to say this is what God's saying.
Yep. And the other thing, the last thing we'll cover is we don't express our opinions on other people. We don't judge. We don't let our tongues express our opinions about others. Gossip, pretty much.
Gossip.
You know, we don't judge others with gossip. And that's a tough one because, you know, if you ever got to go up to somebody and say, "Well, I know I shouldn't be saying this, but..."
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it.
Okay. you know? If you have to throw the butt in there,
yeah.
It's probably
if you got to put a pre-warning on what you're about to say, then it's best not to say.
Or how about, we need to be praying for brother so and so.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just because you say it, you're praying for him or doing that, don't make it any right if you're talking about.
Just
them.
Because you end what you're saying with "bless their heart."
That's right.
Yeah. If you're putting your personal opinion, circumstances going on, you don't know what's going on in that home. You don't know what's going on in the heart of that person. And you think you've got this figured out. You don't have the mind of God is the problem.
Absolutely.
Here. And you're passing opinion and you're talking about your brother or sister in a demeaning way. And God basically said that that's something he hates.
Yep. We show Christians love. And if we can do that all the time and just express love constantly, you know, all this other stuff would just fall in place.
Amen. Come back in just about a minute and a half, and we're going to talk about things you can judge as a Christian.
This is Jennifer again. I love how the Word of God can seem new every time you read it. I know you've heard and read these words before, but I'd like to read them to you. They are absolutely beautiful, and perhaps you need to hear them again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Truth seekers, I think it's great to know the 23rd Psalm. However, the Psalm can't save your soul or change your heart. The one you really need to know is the Shepherd. God bless you, and keep seeking the truth.
Hey, truth seekers, especially you pastors out there, go to truthinfusion.com and check out our schedule of events. We've got a lot of things coming up at different churches, but there's room for your church. If you have a need for a worship event or a teaching event, I'd love to come in and preach and teach the Word of God for you. Give me a call or email me at truthinfusion@gmail.com. Let's put something on the schedule for you and your congregation. All right, Truth Seekers, welcome back. I'm here in the studio with Jason Edge, and this is Q&A day, and we're tackling a question from Tiffany in Texarkana that is one that all of us in one way or another could say that we've been involved in. Someone saying, you can't judge me, or only God can judge me, or people that love to throw that out whenever somebody has said something that convicts their heart. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Like, it almost sounds like Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. Judge not, lest ye, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. That's not very professional. In the first half, we talked a lot about this question from the vantage point of what are some things that we should not be judging on. And a lot of, really, it boils down to you don't judge on your own personal opinions, thoughts, pet peeves. We have to maintain scriptural integrity when we come to a place of judging the actions of another brother or sister in the faith, because one of the points we brought out was if it has to do with the people in the world, yes, we can identify when they're right and wrong, but really our government has set up a system to judge them. The Word of God judges them, but if you go to them and say, God says you shouldn't do this, chances are you're just going to get, you know, a slap in the face, right, at least verbally, and they're not going to hear you. But let's talk about now. We're going to go into the idea of what are we allowed to judge in the church? Yes.
Yes.
But under certain guidelines that the Scripture has laid out. So, Jason, kind of lead us into what are some things or some situations that we as Christians do have the right by God to judge?
Right. Well, we do have a right to be judges of other Christians, but only on, like David was made clear, that there's things that we shouldn't judge, but here's the things that we should. And first and foremost is the way we do it. The Bible said it's
good
with gentleness and kindness and love. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't go to someone that falls under these categories and in a condemning way and, you know, say you're going to hell if you don't change your ways. Because granted, these are Christians we're talking to and they're saved. You know, so there's no going to hell. You know, there's just things that happen to them while they're here on earth out of disobedience. That's a whole other segment in itself. But let's talk about some of the things as a church, as God's children, we're supposed to hold.
You said post again.
Sorry, that's country.
We're building fences around here with all these posts.
All right, so we're supposed to.
There you go.
This is where we're supposed to judge other Christians. We judge other Christians when it comes to disputes between members of a local body of believers so they can settle these disputes. We act as the judge, I guess, as two members come to us mm-hmm. with an issue they're having. And the Bible talks about this a lot of, you know, you're supposed to hold your hand when you're going to court with your believer and settle dispute on the way to the court. It's something yeah. like that. But sometimes it makes it to court.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to go to court and let an unbeliever make a judgment between
sure.
two believers.
Yeah.
But so as Christians, if we have a group of people that come up to us with an issue, we're supposed to be biblically strong enough to understand what God's wants out of the outcome of this dispute.
Yeah, to have knowledge of the word, knowledge of the situation, and say, this is what the Bible says about this type of situation. And again, not base it on what do I think's best for the situation, but what does God say about this? Because a church is made up of people. Some mm-hmm. of us don't realize that, but the church is a body of humans, and so arguments are going to pop up. You know, opinions
Absolutely.
Are going to flare, and you've got to have level-headed, spiritually minded, walking in the Spirit leaders in a church that can say, this is the heart of God and the mind of God in this situation, and solve those situations, and so that the church can move past that onto the real reason that we're there to begin with.
Absolutely. And don't bring it to church. Do it before you get to church on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good
You know,
point.
When you go to church on Sunday, let it be about God. Whatever
Amen.
Happened on during the week, you know, you got deacons and elders, and you can call and say, hey, this is going on, let's settle this. Don't bring it Sunday to church. Sunday's all about God. It should every day is all about God, but even more so, we come together on Sunday, and I just give your full undivided attention
True.
To God and let Him, you know.
Even if the situation is handled before church begins on Sunday, it still has distracted your
That's right.
focus.
That's right.
And you go into worship service with the effects of what was done, and you know maybe something that somebody shouldn't have said is on your mind. You know, you're right. That's a great point. We ought to be just pinpoint focused on Sunday morning on Jesus Christ.
That's right. Moving along. Judgment to the unrepented sins of members of God's children.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets a little hairy for most Christians. You know, nobody likes to be pointed out of our sins.
Yeah.
And but when we are, there's a way as the judge of how we're supposed to handle it. We don't go to that person in front of everybody in the congregation.
Absolutely.
And we don't say, hey, you need to repent of your sins. I seen you doing this, or I heard you doing that, and embarrass and condemn that person in front of the whole church. No, the Bible plainly states there's a process of how it's going to happen. And it's Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. And it says, if you take your brother and confront him of his sins, and he chooses to accept that, you've won your brother over. You
yeah.
won another brother in Christ. And you do that one-on-one. You pull him to the side. You don't, you know, do it in front of a group
Make
of
a
people.
Spectacle of
right.
them. Yeah.
And that's as Christian, we're doing that with love. We're not doing it because we think we're better than that person. We're not doing it other than, you know, we're trying to help that person get out of that rut they're in. Because whatever, as Christians, when we're sinning, it's our choice. We choose to be there, but sometimes we need help getting out.
Yeah,
you know?
And oh, how quickly we who have been shown absolute grace and mercy fall back on judgment.
Oh, yeah.
Justice is what I meant to say. You know, we so quickly see a situation in someone who failed and hurt themselves and hurt others, and we think that it's now our job to exact discipline on that person. I've seen this so many times in churches. So many churches, they will have, I can give you an absolute prime example. There was a brother of mine that was said, well, what would you do about this? In their church, there had been some sexual sin between some church members that were not married. You know, that, you know, pretty difficult situation. Pretty hard situation to know exactly how to handle. But what a lot of churches are prone to do nowadays is like you said, make a spectacle. Before you know it, everybody in the church knows about it. They know all the details. And then the next thing you know is someone's passing down, well, you need to get right with God, and then you're going to have to do, you can't do this for 3 weeks. You can't do this for, you got to sit over there in that
just
corner.
Just like the Bible says.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, we make up stuff that's not even in the Bible.
That's right.
Give people disciplinary action after we've judged their actions, and we punish them with ways that God doesn't even punish us. Whenever we come to Him and truly repent, and He says, okay, forgiven as far as the east is from the west, and God turns away from that, and then here's, you know, Pastor so-and-so saying, well, you know, okay, that's one thing if God wants to forgive and forget, but here's what we're going to do in this church. We're going to beat you down, and we're going to make a scene out of you. And that's, you know, there's a couple of things here. When Paul confronted a sexual sin in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe.
Yeah.
He basically said, now this, the Corinthian church knew about it, knew it was happening, did nothing about it, and were in fact kind of making light of it. It was, you know, making a kind of holding it up and lifting it up a little bit. And it was a man that was having a sexual relationship with his stepmother. I think that's what it was. Well, Paul said, he scolded the church because they were letting this go, because that type of sin is destructive for the body. And the second thing Paul said was this, because this man was evidently, his heart was not after changing. He was not repentant. He was in this lifestyle of sin and wasn't planning on moving. Paul said this is pretty tough. He said, hand him over to his father, the devil. Why?
Yeah.
So that he might have his soul saved.
That's right.
Okay, so that's hard news, but that's in the situation of someone who has been confronted with their sin, and they are just saying, I don't care what God says or you say, I'm not changing. That's a lifestyle of unrepented sin. And Paul said, set them out. Save the church and help them be saved. But the other side of Paul's approach to this is in Galatians, when he says, you know, with a matter of someone who had fallen into sin, a brother or sister, he said, let you who are spiritual restore them gently.
Yes.
And the difference is that person who we have judged is in a lifestyle of sin, are they willing to repent, or are they going to, you know, thumb their nose at God and say, I don't care?
Right.
That depends on how you go from that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we judge others on their unforgiven sins. Now, the next one, we talked a little bit about the first segment, and it's we're supposed to judge others on what they teach, not their tactics, not their how they teach, but what they teach.
Yeah, absolutely.
We judge what they teach to make sure it's the truth. And don't take everything your pastor says on Sunday morning to be the truth. Granted, it probably is. If you go to a Spirit-led church, that, and a good pastor up there, he's giving you the truth, but we're, as the body, are supposed to make sure that's the truth and go home and study what's taught on Sunday, you know, and dwell on it and pray over it and learn more about it. You know, church is great. Church, I love church, but we got so much more to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's where we grow. That's where we learn about the Bible. That's where we fall in love and have that intimate relationship with God.
So we're supposed to judge the truth in our churches, make sure that it's God's word that's being given. And if it's not, that needs to be brought out in a personal way.
That's right.
God bless you guys. Hope this helped. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.